breath, everybody.
Oh my goodness. I'd like to say, put your hard hats on. We're going in. Who knows what we'll find there, or who. Take a nice breath in. And an easy breath out. And keep that pattern going. Nice breath in. Easy breath out. Those of you who know me know that I always start my meditations with, the Christ in me is awake now. For the Christ in me is a consciousness. It is not a person in me. It is an awakened consciousness. The Christ awakened in me remembers God, remembers love, remembers peace and wisdom and joy and harmony and prosperity and health and well-being. And so whenever I pray or meditate, I like to affirm, the Christ in me is awake now. Those of you who care to, let's say that together. The Christ in me is awake now. Focus on the memory of wisdom that within me there is divine wisdom, and I know things that I can't explain. I know things that I can't describe. I know things. I know love, and I can't describe love. I know harmony, and I can't describe it. I know God, and I can't describe it. What I know in my wisdom is too big for words. What I know in my wisdom is too big for my human understanding. What I know in my wisdom is very, very good. And I welcome it to stay open so that as I go about my day, I know all that I know, whether I can speak it or not. I know all that I know in my wisdom. So let's take that thought, let's take it into the silence, and let's see what gets revealed. In my wisdom, I know all that I know. Let's go on in. So was the Christ awakened in me. Wisdom is awakened in my full being. And I know that I know. And so knowing this, let's start our journey back here. back here to the sanctuary, this place called Unity. As we come back, let's come back refreshed, renewed, and fully aware of the good that has just taken place. So we say thank you and amen. So, my friend, David Zam, my friend, Samantha Talora, that's great to come. She's driven all the way down from the Berkshires to, to sing to help with David Friedman's songs for us.
Here we are, you and I at last, in the right place, at the right time. Every dream I've dreamed has come to pass, 'cause you're right here, and you're all mine. I can't believe the years of holding back are through, and I can finally share what's in my heart with you. Listen, listen, listen to my heart, listen to it sing, listen to my song, it wants to tell you everything. There's so much to say, I don't know where to start, but if you want to know the love I'm feeling, listen to my heart. All my life, I've been on a road going one way toward one dream. The road would wind, and doubt I would go, always searching, never finding. But even in my darkest hour, I always knew that someday, somehow, the road would lead.
Who here thinks they love God?
I know I love God.
Okay. Okay, so Jesus gave two commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, all thy strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. So which is harder, to love God or your neighbor? Wrong. It's harder to love God. If I loved God, I'd have no problem with the neighbor. And it's hard to think about because, oh, that really wrecks my day. Oh, because it's, as I've said before, it's so confusing. The people you don't like have friends. Why is that? Some foolish people. Recently, I was at a healing gathering, and I heard somebody say, what you think about the most is your higher power. Oh, I didn't know that. When did they pull that fast one on me? And what do you think about the most? Do you think about freedom and love and everything? Or, oh, the weather. Oh, how long is it going to be cold? Oh, my knees. Oh, I wish I had more money. Anything political. You know, what do you think about the most? Are you thinking, I just love God. I love God. I love God. Oh, God is so good all the time. It's just wonderful that you know so much so that you don't have time to think about anything else. Or are you thinking about the other stuff so much that you don't have time to think about God? God is a great concept. It's not a great reality for some of us. Here's why. We have opinions. Anybody? I have opinions. And I use those opinions sometimes to create a great fear within myself. And that becomes my God. On those days, I forget. And fear becomes my higher power. Oh, with that being right. Because after all, I am. I'm right about things I don't want to be right about, though. I don't want to be right about what I'm afraid of. I really, really want to be wrong about what I'm afraid of, except when I want to be right. And it's a competition throughout my day. Oh, can I just be right about something? Well, I can if I agree with God. But then I'd have to love my neighbor, stupid neighbor. Then I'd have to love the ones who don't agree with me. Somebody I know who's a big part of my daily healing fellowship died last week in his transition. He got quite ill quite fast, and he left. Now, I didn't like this guy very much. And let me tell you why. Because he didn't seem to care for me. And that seems like a valid reason not to like somebody else. They don't like me, I don't like them. I know he respected me, and I never found out why he didn't care for me. And I've even asked him. I've confronted him more than once. I know you don't like me. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, you don't speak to me. You don't engage. I never found out why. But here's the thing. He was one of my fellows. Because I'm in a fellowship. It has nothing to do with gender. It has to do with a fellowship. And we both were there every day to heal. Of a dis-ease or a disorder within our system. Probably guess what it is, but I'm not saying it out loud right now. But you can figure it out because so many are in it. And so to look at that, a few weeks ago he spoke to the group. He was asked to speak. And I said, you and I have never been the best of friends, but you're one of my fellows. And so if you ever needed me, I'd be right there for you. And that's the simple truth of it. I know if I had needed him and gone to him, no, I really could use you for this to heal, he'd have been right there for me. So what we're talking about is personalities rather than principle. Because 2 years ago, his son died of a drug overdose. I went to that funeral, didn't they both? And I, because his family, I knew my presence was a healing presence. Because I know whenever I've lost anyone who has meant a great deal to me, other people's presence has meant a great deal to me. And it wasn't about liking their personalities or not. It was about presence and being present. My God self walking through the doors. Oh, what that means to me, said then last week. I went as part of a fellowship to the funeral home and to the funeral the next day at the church. There were a lot of us, but I knew his family. I was so grateful for all of us that showed up. And out of respect and out of honoring pain and confusion and the knowing of truth. I mean, his wife, when I spoke to her, she said, oh, everybody's told me that our son was right there to take him over to the next side. And so to look at that and think, okay, not about the personality. Love doesn't need a personality in order to love. Love just needs love and the willingness to experience it. All this is based on our thinking. So much of all our life experiences, well, every life experience, every experience we have is based on what we think about. Because that's the only way to have an experience. Otherwise, it's completely neutral, and neutrality is very difficult for us. We need to create some meaning to it. And that's why it's so hard for us to realize God doesn't love us. Can't love us because God is love itself. Therefore, God cannot not love us. What we want in our personality is God to be nicer. You understand, don't you? I'd like God to do things my way. And when I get full of myself, I sit down and I tell God how things should be rather than asking what I should think about. I need to find out from God, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, Christ awakened to me, tell me what to think about this so that I don't make up an untrue story. Now, anybody who knows me, and not all of you know me outside of here, I do enjoy a little bit of gossip. I do. It's fun. It's very entertaining. But it does not occur to me that it's the truth about anything. Just entertainment. It's like turning on a sitcom. That's not true what's happening in front of me, but I laugh. And so when I get together with certain friends and we talk about it, oh, I laugh. Because the ridiculousness of what we call our humanity, and it really takes a lot of the perceived fear out of my life experience. Now I want to read something here because I couldn't. It comes from the revealing word. And it, no, it's revealing word, no. Yeah, it couldn't be metaphysical. But it's the metaphysical meaning of thinking. Hmm? I have your attention. Oh, I didn't take it through this. Metaphysical meaning of thinking. The formulating process of mind. So gotcha. It is a faculty of the ego, the omnipotent I am, of each one of us. The thinking faculty is the inlet and the outlet of all of our ideas. It is active, zealous, impulsive, but not always wise. Its nature is to think, and think it will. If you are ignorant of your office, a prince in the house of David, and stand meekly by and let it think unsifted thoughts, your thinking faculty will prove an unruly servant. Its food is ideas, symbolized in the gospel as fishes. And it is forever casting its net on the right, on the left, for a draught. Always looking for that, it's good somewhere. You alone can direct where its net shall be cast. You are the one who says, cast the net. The thinking faculty in you makes you a free agent because it is your creative center. In and through this one power, you establish your consciousness. You build your yourself away from the realm of original truth, or from the illusionary universe in which you are forever unraveling, tangled ends, and chasing shadows. Thus we see clearly that this faculty is the rock, the foundation upon which the consciousness must be built. Be no longer a slave to the thinking faculty. Command it to be still and know. Stand at the center of your being and say, I am the Father, or I am God, or I am Spirit, or you are one. I am meek and lowly in heart. All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and earth. There is no God else besides me. And so to look at all that, my thinking, it wants to tell me it's right, especially when the ego was there. You should be upset about this. You should be indignant about this. You should go and tell them how they should do it differently. You should go and tell them. And the only reason I should do that is for a temporary satisfaction, so that I can go vent. I have anger looking for a home. Anybody? You know that one, don't you? There's the home today. But look out. Somebody else here might be tomorrow. And so look at all that. Okay, what I think about most is my higher power. Do I really want this to be my God? Do I really want this? Did the sound just go up? Did my mic just get...
Yes, because people are complaining online that they can't hear you.
Oh my, well now they get to hear a ring.
You get off.
Okay, keep going.
Well, you guys do.
Yes.
There we go. It got to shove things on a ship. Hey, in TV land. I'm trying. I hope you get to hear me. I hope it's recording okay. I don't want most of what I think about during the day to be my God, to be my higher power. If I am to love God and love my neighbor as myself, and it's not then, it's all at the same time. It's the same within the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. Not forgive us our trespasses and then we'll forgive. It's not God sitting up to go, well, hurry up, forgive the other people, and I'll get around to it. It all happens at once because truth is simultaneous. There's not a this and then that and then that and then that. We see it as unfolding. We have our awakening. It's like Pearl Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, when she had her epiphany, I am a child of God and therefore I do not inherit sickness. It still took 2 years for the tuberculosis that she had been diagnosed with and given a 3-month death sentence. It took 2 years for it to no longer show up in her system at all. But she had the healing that day. The healing began in her mind, and that is how she began to live her life. Now, I wasn't hanging around with Myrtle Fillmore. That I'm aware of. But it was 1886, after all. That I'm aware of. But from the stories I'm told, she began a process of thinking about healing. And the process was in aligning herself with the God of her understanding, the God that she understood and that she wanted. So every day she would sit and praise her being. She would praise the cells. No, she didn't praise herself. She praised her cells because healthy cells reside in a healthy system. And in her connection with the God of her understanding, she developed health once again. It was restored to her. She lived another 45 years from that first diagnosis. Was it that long? No, it wasn't. Let's say 1860 to 1931. How old was that?
Oh, that's
1886 to 1931. It was 45 years. See, I was right. Yes. It hurts no one. It diminishes nothing. And it was correct information that I passed along in order to inspire to think, oh, if I change my mind, I can work on healthy cells. And so that's what she began to think about. And with that, she had multiple healings in so many ways, and so did so many others. A lot of people had healings because a prayer group developed around her kitchen table, which became Silent Unity, the Society of Silent Health. Silent Unity, which is today, if you don't know, is the world's oldest existing telephone prayer line. You can call tonight, 1-800-NOW-PRAY, and someone will answer that phone and say, this is Silent Unity, how may I pray with you? They will not counsel you. They will not, you're not going to convince them of what's wrong with you. You may say what's wrong, but they're going to pray about the solution. That's what makes Silent Unity trustworthy. You know, as far as they're concerned, it's none of their business what's wrong. When people come to me for spiritual counseling, my first prayer is, let's give thanks for what brought you here today that the two of us may pray together. I don't ever say, oh, you poor thing, get in here. I don't do that. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, you should be upset. Yes. Well, sometimes I'll say, I understand. I've been upset like that, ow, and there's always a solution. There's always, that starts in the mind. In the mind. And that is what we want as our higher power, our God. When you look at the world, you don't want anything that you think is wrong with the world to convince you that your life or you is wrong. You don't want the activities of those who seem to be confused about the love of God, the love of life, to convince you that you should not love God, or that you should not love life, or even the confused one. It doesn't help. It just makes you want more. And that's what I mean. We're not smarter because we're right about what's wrong. Not one of us is smarter because of that. You know, I grew up in a family that was wrong all the time. That did not make me a clever child. That just meant I knew right from wrong. What I had to grow up and continue in my dotage here to look at is, I don't want to maintain the pattern. If I see people hurting other people, that is not license for me to hurt myself or for me to hurt other people. I don't want that to be my God, and I certainly don't want guilt to become my God because I thought, oh, I shouldn't have done that, I know better, I shouldn't have done that. And suddenly guilt becomes my leader. My great influence. I didn't take on this Unity stuff so I could continue to live in guilt. I came into Unity with some guilt, and I needed to find out the truth about it. A lot of people who read Course in Miracles get confused. I'm a fan of Course in Miracles, but they get confused, and they start reading about all the guilt in it, and they become guilty, and they stay guilty. I should have known better. Well, you didn't. Now move on. This stuff is to get us through it and past it, to have our feelings about it, perhaps have our process, but it is absolutely for healing. My prayer life is not to maintain misery. And it certainly is not to make my misery more manageable. It is to let me know that the misery is worthless. The misery is not of value any longer. Maybe I could use it to get me here, but I'm here now. I don't need to maintain it. I'm here. Why? How do I think that misery is still going to help? I don't know. But somewhere in me, some days I get confused. And so I have to look a little further and say, I need to rethink this. Spirit, tell me what to think. Get my book here. So let's all remember what I think about most is my higher power. Is this what I want my higher power to be? Is this what I want my God to be? I'm responsible, and there's no cause for guilt because I hadn't thought of this yesterday or on the bus this morning. There's no cause for guilt. Ooh, how about that? So I looked up that John 21:6 in my book here, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. Sorry. I probably should have asked for a stand, but I didn't. It says here, John chapter 21, and remember, it's Holy Spirit speaking here. When you were ready to listen to me and trust me fully in all matters and all things, the time will come that you will experience that which you did not expect. This will be a time of celebration, for your eyes will be opened, and you will be fully immersed within the Spirit. The light shall be one with you, and you shall be one with the light. And you will not ask, how is it that this happened? For you will know it is your truth, and you are now seeing it. Because it is so. Leo, can we see them? Our mission. To provide a spiritual home where community may gather and know that all good comes from God within. Let our great goal today in our thinking, in our words, in our behaviors be to know that all good comes from within. We are loved because we can't not be. Thank you. Here.
when we both grow old here with you. So good night, don't be afraid, sleep safe in my arms, baby, you'll be okay, I'll keep you from harm, and tomorrow, if trouble should come, you can count on me to come through, because now and for always, I'll be here with you. Come rain or come shine, through thick and through thin, for better or worse, I'll be here with you. So good night, don't be afraid. Good night. Good afternoon.